Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Joe, just for the future, when big announcements take place, could we not do it during dinner hour on the weeknights?
Yes.
Right? That happened, right at about 5-ish o'clock yesterday. Yeah. Sabres are bringing Lindy Ruff back. And I knew, you know, as I'm starting to clean up some of the dishes, and then I took a peek at my phone and I had like a bunch of missed calls and text messages and things like that. I had a feeling what had just happened, and lo and behold, here we are.
You're right. That is dinner hour for most people. I eat very late.
We eat early.
Yeah.
I think dinner hour's been pushed back. When's dinner hour? 803-0930. You can let us know when you're eating dinner. When should I not call you? Here on WBEN, 803-0930. I obviously get out of work a little earlier.
Yeah.
I'm hungry earlier. Like, I want to eat something sooner because I'm going to bed a little bit earlier. My wife gets out earlier than most people would.
Right.
So we're generally, I think, we are like the classic dinner hour. We can get an early bird special anywhere and be fine with us. If I eat dinner at 4:30, I'm happy. Usually, like around 5 o'clock is when we aim. We can push it back as late as like 6. Once you start getting into 6:30 for dinner, for me, no, not going to happen. I feel like 6:30 is most people's dinner hour, though.
I think you're right. I'd like to have more structure like that. Like, I think last night my wife and I had dinner around 8:30. But I grew up in a family that...
What?
I mean...
How?
In the Beamer house growing up, my family, it was not rare that dinner wouldn't be ready till 8:15. I remember taking my plate down to the basement to watch the second period of the hockey game. Like, that's how late my... So my whole life has been like that.
Yeah, we couldn't.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it.
But
I couldn't function.
You're right. With this schedule, it leads to snacking, and that's how I look like the way I look.
I don't know how you do that late.
Yeah.
That's rough.
I've got to push myself to eat earlier.
Well, it cuts out on the snacking.
Exactly.
But if I don't eat it, I'm gonna eat something at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
That is my problem.
Because I'm hungry. There. Let's make it dinner, and then that ends the day right there.
There's the eating. Yeah.
When's your dinner hour? 803-0930. Mine's 5 o'clock, and then when I was cleaning the dishes, I learned that Lindy Ruff is back.
Yes.
I mean, we talked about it last week. Do you love it or hate it? I mean, that's the question I'll put out there. I think you and I both kind of made clear last week we love the idea.
Yes.
To me, Joe, it was the only idea that made sense for the Sabres. Like, the more I thought about it, Lindy Ruff got fired, a few months ago during the season, and I was already kind of like, hey, you know, here we go, Sabres. But, you know, it was always kind of like, wouldn't that be kind of neat? And then even last week when they fired their coach, I was, Lindy Ruff, that would be it's definitely a real option. Like, it's not just wouldn't it be cool if they brought back Lindy Ruff? Like, that, I think it could happen. The more I thought about it, Joe, it became the only option that ever made sense to me. Because if you compared him to the other coaches that were available, that you were likely to get, I think they're all the same.
Yeah.
That's not true, but I do think they're generally, like, distinguish one from the other. I don't know if there's really a way that you can. Like, people might have wanted this guy or that guy, but there's no guarantee that any of them work out. There's the possibility that any of them could be great. They might all have a quality of, being a little tougher that you wanted in a new coach. But I think Lindy has a unique ability amongst all the people who are available to, let guys score goals, which
yes,
he's done throughout his career. And then, you had Kevin Adams yesterday, and I'm sure he'll repeat the same thing today, saying nostalgia was not a factor. Joe, it absolutely should have been a factor if it wasn't, because when you look at, all right, you have Lindy there. He's amongst this group of, like, let's say five coaches who, you know, throw a dart, right? Like, and see which one you want, like, on the ice wise. I don't know. Can you tell who's going to be better than the other? But this one candidate comes with all this additional, I mean, again, the calls and texts that I was getting yesterday after the Sabres hire, the emotional response from people, the nostalgia, the people who will want to be in the building when they play their first home game,
yeah,
which is no small, like as we've said all throughout the last week, that is no little thing. Like, that's no small thing. To have people want to be in the building when you've had trouble with that over the past few years, it's the only thing that made sense to me.
It did. And, you know, Brian, he was in the playoffs last year. Like, all these people saying, Lindy Ruff, you know, he's going to come back. It's going to continue the drought. I mean, as you said, any coach could have done that. The Sabres have gone the route of the winning coach. We talked about this last week. They've gone the route of the guy who's been proven, the up-and-coming coach. They've all played part into this drought. Lindy Ruff puts the excitement. There's a buzz. The Sabres have not played a game in a week, and there's more buzz surrounding this hockey team
than there was during the year.
Yeah, than there's been the last few seasons. I mean, so right there, that's already. I've got people texting me about the Sabres, Brian, who haven't sent me a Buffalo Sabres text in years. Okay, so it's definitely done that. And I think Lindy is, as you said, the kind of coach this Buffalo Sabres team. I think we'll really benefit from. You've already heard some of the players saying they would love to have Lindy behind the bench. And again, I'm going to go back to this. It's a guy who's proven he can win outside of Buffalo. It's not someone who's been failing as a head coach, crawling back to the Sabres. This is a guy who's been, again, we talked about it last week, the bar for the Sabres, very low. A 4-game playoff sweep is a win for this Buffalo Sabres team. So the bar is very low. Lindy Ruff has proven time and time again he can get to what the Buffalo Sabres are looking for with this crew.
I can't wait to hear from him later on today. Like, it feels right to have him back. Like, it's just, all right. Like,
a Lindy Ruff press conference.
And you know what? Like, if they stink and miss the playoffs next year, at least these are my guys that are stinking. You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, like, that's us.
Yeah.
At least I can look at the team and be like, that's Lindy. Like, he's one of us. And okay, at least we tried it.
And it's great for Lindy. He didn't have to move.
Right?
You know? He got to go home.
So everyone is like, why not bring Rod Brind'Amour here? Like, Rod Brind'Amour has owned a home in Carolina for 25 years.
That's right.
He's not moving to Buffalo.
He moved from Hartford when the team did.
No.
Yeah.
I think he played for Philly.
No, I think it was on Hartford when they moved. Am I right? No?
He definitely played for Philly in the early 2000s.
Well,
/ late 90s. So if he moved then he would have moved back before. But still, I think it's great. On the text board this morning, let's take a look. You know, people, look, I got a few people already despise the idea of Lindy Ruff coming back. I think if you, there are people who would be just generally opposed to the idea of bringing anyone to be the coach or GM or whoever who had been with the Sabres previously. Right. And I get it to an extent. Like, you just don't like the idea of a retread. I don't think like that. I don't really think retread is a real thing. Like, everyone's a retread kind of in their own ways, unless you hire everyone as a first timer to their job, and who wants that.
Right. Same people would be complaining.
I look at it as a bonus. You know, I look at it as, I think knowing, you know, think of how many times you listen to a coach post game. You know, this is where Sean McDermott has just been from day one. Like, I think has really won a lot of people. From day one, he sounded like a lot of fans and sounded like what a lot of people want their head coach to sound like. Just somebody who is in charge. You know, from day one, this is not my drought, but I realize, like, what's going on here. Like, we're trying to bring some respectability to here. Wore a collared shirt. You know, yeah. Like, just like that kind of stuff. And I think he won a lot of people. Like Lindy Ruff coming in here, how many times have you listened to whoever the coach has been over the last decade talk? And it's just, they could be saying something good, but if it's after a loss, you look at it and you just go, whatever, you don't understand. Like, you're not from here. You're bringing in somebody who you can't say doesn't understand.
Right. I mean, to reference the last coach, when the game that mathematically eliminated the Buffalo Sabres from the playoffs, and Granato said, I just want to focus on this game.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not how the fans are thinking today. You know, the fans are looking back at what this means for the drought that they've been a part of for over a decade. And I think you're right. Lindy Ruff knows exactly what the fan base is going through. He knows his fan base. We heard this last week, Brian, but someone texted in, Lindy has never won a cup. Again, the Buffalo Sabres have gone that route, brought the coach in who had won the cup, and guess what? Did not do any better than they have been during the drought.
I just don't think that that's a very good
argument against
it. Who cares?
Yeah.
He's never won a cup. Who cares? You know who never won a cup? Bruce Cassidy, who won the Stanley Cup last year. He never won a cup before. You know who never won a cup? Jared Bednar had never won a cup, and then he won a cup with the Colorado Avalanche. John Cooper with the Lightning never won a cup before he won two in a row with the Lightning. Craig Berube, who some people wanted them to hire. Not only did he never win a cup before he was hired in St. Louis, he never won a playoff series. And then he was hired in St. Louis and won a cup in the first year he was there.
Yep.
Like, it's just your past track record. I can go down the list. Your track record has nothing to do. And of what previous Stanley Cup winning coach did you want to hire? Like, they're not. I'm looking at the list here. Pat Burns is dead. No. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Joel Quenneville, no. Like, is not coming back into the league. Like, Daryl Sutter, is he still coach? Is he in Calgary right now? If he's not, he's retired. Like, you're just not doing it. It's not happening. Anyways, I was glad to see it happen. I think a lot of people are. I think there's I would call it an 80-20 split.
I think that's fair.
With very little middle ground. You know, maybe it's a 79-19 and a 2% of people who are indifferent. But I think the 79% of people love it. I think the 19% of people hate it because, you know, the quote-unquote retread thing. And you know what will happen? We'll play 2 months of hockey, and then we'll see what happens.
By the way, 90% of the 19% who are against it would have been against whatever. They would have been negative about whatever coach the Sabres
brought in. And I can't blame you for that.
By the way, you were right. I don't know why. You know, sometimes your mind plays games, tricks on you. Rod Brendamore never played for the... I could have sworn I had a picture of him.
I think you're thinking of Ron Francis.
Well, maybe I was. I was 3 years off.
Yeah. Ron Francis was that. He was Hartford for a while, went to Pittsburgh, and then went back to Carolina, ran the team for a while.
I wish I would have done my research before I opened my big mouth.
Your comments, 803-0930 on the text board. You had that. You mentioned never won a cup. Well, I don't think that's that big of a deal. Someone else said it's going to be a great disappointment when they stay the same. Well, you know, hey, look, the worst that can happen is they're the same team, but we have Lindy Ruff as a coach, which I enjoy. Somebody else, they can't do any worse, so what's the problem with Lindy coming back? I'm kind of right there. Good move by the Sabres. He'll bring more stability. You get made fun of a lot. Here's this, Joe, and this is kind of my last thing on it that we'll talk about. He's hired by the Sabres, and instantly he's the most popular person in the organization.
Yes.
No other team, like the Sabres were in a unique position to make that hire. No other team across pro sports in North America could do the same thing. Like, no other team could hire a coach, have him walk in the door as instantly the most popular person in the organization. Now, maybe I'm like, maybe there's some baseball, like maybe Ken Griffey Jr. is hired by the Mariners.
Yeah, of course.
Like, is that a realistic thing that would happen? I don't know.
Probably not, but yeah, that would be something but, like, that would amp that fan base, yeah.
But like, the Sabres were the only team in America that could make a decision to bring in somebody who would be instantly more popular than everybody. How do you pass it up? Like, it just would not happen in another sport. Sal Capaccio from down the hall tweeted back at me when I sent this out saying that Jim Harbaugh out in L.A. might be the same thing. Maybe their quarterback's more popular, but it's a toss-up. I'm like, all right, you might have a point there, but you definitely have it here. Like, you just have to take that opportunity because, again, it's so – it just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it doesn't present itself.
And you know what? I don't understand what's so wrong with, like, hey, this brings back some fine memories, right? Some fine memories of what this team was when Lindy Ruff was behind the bench.
We don't want to do it just because of that, right?
And they didn't. And I'm not saying – I think – if Lindy Ruff wasn't Lindy Ruff, I think his resume, like Kevin Adams says. But you think back to just growing up. I mean, some of the fun years as being a Sabres fan, and who's behind the bench? It's Lindy Ruff. Does that magic come back? Hopefully. I mean, the Sabres have to eventually go to the playoffs.
Well, maybe. Texter points out Scotty Bowman didn't take us to the cup, right? The most decorated coach in NHL history. That's only team he didn't win a cup with was right here. Maybe we're cursed. Maybe Jim Lorenz killed that bat, and we have just never been able to get it off the ground.
Nah,
the curse thing. Maybe this reverses the curse. I don't know. But you're more than welcome to text in your comments on that. Lindy Ruff coming back. And Joe, there was a couple of stories recently. I've been sitting on this for a while. I saw online. It was like an old school op-ed, like, you know, he said, she said type of like dueling columns that I found about bringing babies to the bar. And then there's a recent story that kind of triggered that in my mind again and made me think back to that conversation. This happened in Australia, but it's making international headlines. What should a comedian do when a baby cradled in its mother's arms starts making noises in the middle of a set? An American comedian was out in Australia. He kicked out the mother in the middle of his hour-long set. The comedian made the decision to eject the mother and her 7-month-old baby. Now, it prompted some in the audience to leave the show in solidarity with the mother. Others heckled her as she left, and the interaction sparking fierce debate in Australia and beyond of the rights of mothers to take their babies wherever they'd like, or an entertainer's right to perform without an interruption from an infant. Now, this is going on. I mean, this comedian has, you know, been asked to be on all these shows and defend the decision that he made. He said it wasn't easy to make the decision, but he did it for the show and the audience, who deserved to see what they paid for uninterrupted. Right. What do you think? We'll open this one up, 803-0930. I think it's a larger, you know, you can comment on just the what we're talking about here, you know, a baby being brought to a comedy show. I'm assuming this happened at night. Most comedy shows are, unless they're, you know, blowing up balloons and wearing clown makeup. Usually the comedy show takes place in the evening.
Yeah, this wasn't the Chuck E. Cheese band.
Yeah. So the baby's there. You can talk about just this case in particular. Did the comedian do the right thing in throwing out the mother and the baby? But just in general, are we, and then this is where it kind of goes back to the baby in the bar pro and con argument. Like, should you be allowed to bring your child wherever you go? Or are there common sense no-nos when it comes to bringing, you know, in this case, a 7-month-old baby? You might go as old as 3 or 4, honestly, when it comes to bringing babies or young children to places out in public.
Well, that's what it is. Common sense, right? You should be able to bring a child wherever you want to. But you should also know where that's going to be frowned upon. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, you can bring your baby, you know, wherever. But a comedy show? I mean, you have to think of others around you and just the venue. I think bringing a baby to a bar, I think there's times where that's completely fine, right? You bring the baby to the bar, they sit in their chair, you have a few drinks with some friends, make sure you're paying attention to your child. But to a comedy show, I mean, we're there to laugh. Some people are there to, you know, have fun, use words you wouldn't use around babies. I think as a mother, you have to know. As a parent, you have to know where it's right and where it's wrong.
I think it's an interesting decision to have. Your comments and more when we come back. 803-0930. BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Okay, we're talking about this story. It's making the rounds internationally. In Australia, a comedian kicking a woman out of the show with her 7-month-old baby that she brought to the comedy show, which I'm assuming happened at night. Time zone's different there. But they still have nighttime in Australia.
Yeah.
That's still a thing when most people go to bed. Now, I didn't know this until the text board pointed it out, and I read this on another story. This wasn't in my story, that the woman was breastfeeding also.
Yes. According to the New York Post.
Yeah. Didn't know that. That makes it a whole lot easier decision, I think. That would be a little distracting. But it brings up the greater conversation, and one I've been kind of kicking around for a while here, Joe, because I was reading this op-ed, a pro and con, bringing kids or babies to the bar. The pro said, to avoid extinction, drastic steps must be taken. Well, less people are having kids, so parenting needs to be more fun or something, and you have to let them bring their kids out in some places. And also,
yes, some places.
And this person says babies should be welcome everywhere to make lives easier for parents and to remind other adults that they are adults and should start acting like it. I mean, that's interesting. They say by welcome, I mean nothing more than tolerated. A certain kind of parent is part of the problem, too. A child needs to know how to act, and maybe you can learn how to act by being in adult spaces. The other side of it said, no, if you want to drink, get a babysitter or have one at home.
Yes, I don't think it's so cut and dry, though, right? Like, I think you don't take a baby into a movie theater, right? You're supposed to be quiet watching the movie. I don't need a child crying during the movie. That's where you're being an adult. You're making a smart decision to be a considerate adult. Bringing a baby to a bar's already loud. Bring a baby to a bar, a baby crying, you take the baby outside, you go home, you make that decision. A comedy show, I think that's just so obvious. That's not where you take a 7-month-old. I mean, a comedy show, there are times where, yes, you have to be the adult. And you know what? If you can't find a sitter, you're going to have to sit this one out. It is part of growing up. You do eventually, I know, we all want to watch Bluey and listen to the Wiggles, but eventually you do have to grow up. And that's me saying it, okay, of all people.
On the text board, somebody said, I believe the comedy show was an 18 and above show. Unfortunately, the mother thought it was 18 weeks. We'll go to Becky in Cheektowaga. You're on WBEN. Becky, good morning.
Good morning. Listen, I was mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother, and I am telling you there are certain venues that you just don't take toddlers and babies to. Comedy clubs, programs at Shays unless they're geared for children, the Klein Hands for concerts unless they're geared for children, and other venues. You just don't take young children to that because it's too much noise for them. They get scared, they get anxious, they get anxiety, they cry, they scream, you can't calm them down. You know, and to answer, the point about, oh, mothers should be tolerated and babies should be tolerated everywhere. No, I don't believe in that. I know too many young people, and it is young people, having babies, and they're really cute, and they're playing with their little dolly, dressing it up 3-4 times a day, taking 1,000 pictures of it. But the minute it starts to walk and talk, all of a sudden it's a human being, and it's not the toy anymore. And so now they're young. They just want to have fun. You know, whether or not they can afford a babysitter, if they can't, well, I want to have fun, so I'm going to take my baby with me. Well, you made the decision to give birth to a human being, and that's what it is. And you have an obligation to that human being. But you also have an obligation to people around you. So a comedy club where there's alcohol, people being loud, getting drunk, it's a show for adults. No, that's not a place to have a baby. And I'm sorry, that time at night, that baby should have been in bed sleeping.
Yes. Becky, thanks for the call. And I agree with you. My biggest surprise of this story was not that the comedian kicked the mother out. It was that the mother was allowed in the first place,
right.
Or that there's any sort of backlash against him for doing that, because I think most people listen to Becky's call and agree with everything she said. You know, I'm kind of the same way about my kids. I mean, I guess the closest place that we would take them to, you know, an event like that would be a hockey game. And usually those are during the day, like the only the daytime ones, because the night ones are too late for my kids to stay up. They should be in bed anyway. You know, it's 7 o'clock in my time.
Yeah.
Get in your room. Like that's how it works in my house. I can't believe this happened at the comedy show. When you start to have the discussion about other venues, Joe, I think that's where it opens it up. Now, you said bring the baby to the bar, whatever. I think it is very situational,
okay,
of when that is acceptable.
Yeah, not 2 in the morning.
And what kind of bar? You know what? Like, that plays a part in it, too.
Yeah, well, I don't think you should be bringing your baby on Chippewa. No offense to the great bars on Chippewa. I meant, like, you know, your neighborhood bar down the street. You're going there to meet up with some friends. You want to...
That's also a restaurant?
Yes.
Because, like, where's the line here between bar and restaurant? It gets a little gray.
See, I'm not sure there's a line with that. I think timing's more of anything. Like, I don't think at 8 o'clock at night you should be bringing your 7-month-old to the bar. But,
yeah,
4 in the afternoon, quick meetup. Maybe you're on your way back from something. Because I do believe you should also have a social life. I mean, you should have a social life, but also be an adult. You can do both.
That doesn't mean you bring your kids everywhere to have a social life.
Well, no. No, not everywhere. But 4 o'clock, you're meeting up for a drink somewhere. I don't think it's ridiculous to take your child to a bar/restaurant.
The way you describe it, I think it might be. Going out for a drink somewhere?
Going out for a drink for lunch? Yeah.
For lunch? Okay, that's different.
You might have a drink with lunch.
But you're going out for lunch.
Okay.
Going out to a bar for a drink is not where you bring a kid.
All right. I think, again, I think it's more timing than anything. I think
you're right there. I mean, if you're in the middle of the day, like, I've brought my son out to watch a soccer game in the middle of the day.
Yes.
When I know there's not going to be a lot of people there. You know, right. We're going to sit and have a lot of room to spread out, watch the game on TV. He's going to have a whole table to color on and going to be able to eat a pizza. Right? Like that.
Perfect.
And that would be bringing, you know, a toddler to a bar, but it is not the same in my mind of bringing a toddler to the bar after 5 o'clock. And then when you get into the gray area, like what you're talking about, Joe, if you're going out for drinks, that's not a place for kids. But you can go to, like, I've taken my kids out to, well, I'm trying to think, like, in this... Was it kid or kids at the time? Either way, it doesn't matter. But I've taken my my young ones out to Kohl's at night, you know, 6 o'clock or so, before, you know, a late night for them.
Right.
To sit down for dinner there.
Yes.
With a bunch of friends who were in town. That's different than going to the bar. Like, right, like, that's where I'm talking about, like, there's a gray area where you can bring your baby or your kids out to dinner,
yeah,
if they're well behaved. I'm definitely a person who, once you start acting out, like, you're being dragged out of there the second, like, that doesn't happen. But not, do you kind of get what I'm saying here?
I get what
there's
you're
a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting my child on the bar stool. You're in the restaurant portion of the building.
You're in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's also a bar, but you're at the restaurant.
My child's not old enough. I think this situation's come up maybe once or twice that my child's been in. I mean, he's 11 months old. But, yeah, you're on the restaurant part. In any situation, I think you're on the restaurant part. I don't think I'm propping my kid up on the bar and saying, hey, guys, everyone, look, I'm going to do a few shots.
You sound like the person, right, on the text board, who said if there's a big glass jar of pickled eggs on the bar, it's probably not the best place to bring your baby.
I like that. Right? I like, yeah.
That's a good. I've brought my kids to Swiston's. That's a bar.
Yeah,
but it's not all about, like, we're sitting in the back at a table where it's very much like a restaurant.
Yeah.
I think there is a gray area there.
Well, there's also, you have to be a responsible adult, regardless of where you're bringing your child.
What about the brewery?
There's a restaurant portion of the brewery.
Before they all became fancy restaurants.
Well, then maybe that's not the place to bring your child.
Right, but yeah. People still did it all the time.
Like, I think if there's food served there, there's a place where you could probably put your, you could have be with your child and not be considered. You know what I mean? You're right. There is a gray area. I mean, there's a bar near me that's just a bar. There's no food. COVID sucked for them. It's just a bar, no food. I don't think that's a place to take your child. I don't care what time of day it is, because that's a place strictly for drinking. Does that make sense? I'm not going there for lunch.
Yeah.
I'm not going there for dinner.
That makes perfect sense to me.
It's just a place where you drink. I'm still on the op-ed that you read where, you know, you have to have time to have a social life, have fun, and be an adult. Yes. But you also have to be responsible. I think that's our generation, Brian, I think is missing, not everybody. I think there are examples in our generation of people who are missing that. And that's probably in every generation where, yes, you have a child now. That should be your number one priority, fitting in your social life when it's responsible to do so. And again, you take the proper steps, getting a sitter, seeing if someone in the family can watch them. I think that's a line that some people don't know what side to be on and cross way too often.
I like it for the, you know, you go through the points made in this one op-ed that I'm realizing. That they say it's kids need to realize the world doesn't revolve around them and learn how to behave in the grown-up world. You know, I've made the same argument for church a lot. But mm-hmm. You could say the same, you know, the bar and church, not that different after all. Where, it is like, I can remember being younger and you go out to dinner, you go out to some of these places, you're expected to act a certain way.
Yes.
And if you don't, there would be consequences. But like, it teaches you, okay, the world doesn't revolve around you. Like, there, you are going to have to sit here and behave, and you might not like it, but that's life.
It's also a privilege that you get to go out with the adults. I always had it as
I can't make these type of chicken fingers at home.
And the minute you open your mouth, the minute you say, you know, you cause a scene, you've lost that privilege.
The text board popping off this morning. I think everyone is kind of in the same page with the comedy show. I mean, there are concerts too that you see that can be like a gray area too, like. Some are black and white. Like if it's a regular concert at a like club concert venue that's starting at 7 o'clock, I would not expect to see anybody under the age of, like if you're 12 or 13, like going to, like that's okay.
Right.
But anyone younger than that, you just don't expect to see that. I mean, most venues would have a, you know, 16 and up or something like that age restriction. But, you know, there are these like outdoor like concerts or festivals. If you go to a festival, you're going to see a lot of people who brought their kids with them, which is something I just would never do.
Yeah, no.
Just doesn't seem fun at all. Never in a million years. And even like the more laid back ones, I just would never do it in a million years. It's just not a place for kids.
Right. Yeah.
Text that really kind of gets me, though, is this one. Just because you have a baby, it doesn't mean you can bring it everywhere. It's the same with the dog.
Yes.
There are places that are appropriate and inappropriate. I think about this with the dog all the time. And, maybe the baby is kind of the same thing. But, like, how many times are you just, like, walking through, you know, the clothes rack at Target and, you know, all of a sudden you're met by a greyhound? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it just happens. Like, wow, dog, what are you doing here?
Right.
Oh, and you're on a leash with a note? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you have to bring the dog everywhere?
Is this PetSmart or is this...
When did that become a thing? I actually saw a sign, I forget where we were over the weekend, no dogs allowed inside.
Oh.
Which I kind of feel like you're going to start seeing those a little more and more because people bring them everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I worked retail, a dog, and it was not like a special, it was just a dog, and it took a number two in the Beyond section, and I had to clean it up. And again, it was just, I was out. We were walking the plaza. Thought we'd come in.
No.
No.
The thing is, they're not all well-behaved service dogs.
No. No, they're not.
So, like, all of a sudden, I'm walking through a store with my kid, and he's face-to-face with a pit bull. Like, come on. What are we doing here?
This is something I didn't think I'd have to face inside the store.
Yeah. We're looking for sneakers. What is the dog doing here?
I mean, if there's one place a dog shouldn't be, it's the sneaker section of any store.
Yeah. That's well, just to see how well they hold up.
Right. I guess
these
so.
Ones didn't last 2 seconds. Next pair, please. But no, you see it all the time. And it became a thing when people started calling them fur babies. Like, it's part of the parents watching Bluey and listening to the Wiggles at age 36.
Are you a parent? Yeah, I'm a dog mom. Oh.
Yeah, just the worst thing. My two favorite. I actually love it because it just immediately tells me, like, you're not gonna get along with this person. Just keep moving on, right? Like, are there certain things in conversation where, you know, you'll just hear it and it's like a keyword for you, like, all right, you have just carte blanche to not pay attention to anything this person says for the rest of the conversation.
I'm sitting there pretending to pay attention, but I have tuned out as soon as you said, I have a few of those kind of keywords. It is funny, though, the people who, like, all over their social media, dog mom, dog, you know, dog parents, and then they actually have a kid, and you never hear them refer to themselves as dog mom or dog dad again.
Yeah, that's, you realize quickly how it works.
Yeah.
Or if you do, then you start to
a question
really wonder
yeah.
about what's going on. Nothing gets me going more. I like the back and forth conversation. Again, I think there's times you can, times you can't, and there is, like, I think it's a fine line between a place where you can bring a kid and a place where you can't.
Yeah,
everyone who has, like, that normal sense of being able to read the room and situation, I think, can figure that out.
I would hope so. Yeah. But I mean, I think there are people who have kids that cannot figure that out. And I think we've seen that. We've seen examples of that. But I think a majority of people, again, we focus on the exceptions. I do think most people have common sense.
If the table is bar height, kids are not meant to be there.
Yeah. High top?
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's just not meant for kids. But I've seen pictures of kids on the table. Well, sleeping on the table.
Yeah, you put the car seat or the seat on the table.
Like, yeah,
that's not supposed to.
Not supposed to be on the table.
No. They have those chair things now that hold the car seat at the table
where kids are supposed to be.
Kids are supposed to be. Shout out Duff's on Transit. They have a place you can sit on the patio with your child, and they have a nice little seat for them.
If the place doesn't have a high chair, let that be a sign.
I think that's a really good rule.
Right?
I think that's a great rule.
Is that not, like, if you ask for a high chair and they go, yeah, we don't have high chairs.
Question why they don't have high chairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it should kind of all start to click with you.
Yeah.
And if they do, well, you're welcome.
Right. If not, maybe it's time to go find friendlies.
Somebody else say, Taste of Buffalo, having your ankles whacked by baby strollers makes it a fun experience. I don't think I would bring a stroller to the Taste of Buffalo because of my experience walking through the Taste of Buffalo without a stroller.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you? Like, it's just,
I agree.
I don't want a stroller in any super crowded space.
No. And it's not fun to manage the stroller in a crowded space. And we all know what it's like to get hit by strollers in a crowded space. Yeah. I agree with that. Like, if you're going to bring a child to a who can't walk, a baby that you have to, you know, wear them, or maybe wait till next year.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, sometimes I find myself saying that, like, I'll have to wait till next year, right? This is just not doable this year. My first responsibility is being a parent, and then, you know, next year my child will be older, it'll be more manageable to do that. That's when we'll go.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
You have to do that as a parent.
You got David is going to come up after the news with Lucas, and we'll both be back here tomorrow on WBEN. Hey, Lindy Ruff, we'll hear from him a little bit later on today.
Looking forward to that.
Should be pretty interesting to have him back. I mean, it'll feel weird. You remember when he left, they gave him like a
big press conference.
Farewell press conference in the
atrium. Spot. Yeah.
And now he's back in the same spot.
I'm sure that'll come up. I guarantee that'll come up today.
Well, here we go. Again, we'll be back here tomorrow bright and early. Again, David is up next after the news with Lucas. Thanks for listening on WBEN.